I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Mark, chapter 1 again. As we've been going through the book of Mark, chapter 1, I was just thinking of the times in which we are living, the different situations that we have in front of us, and how relevant and current the Word of God is for us every time we go to it and we find direction in it. And we're going to pick it up again in verse 29, and we're going to read all the way to verse 32. And just look at this passage this morning and see what we see here, and just kind of let the Word of God speak to us again. As we, as we are here, and you're probably watching this from the church and just following the current events and everything that's going on. In the last 3 months, our lives have taken an unimaginable turn. We are in the midst of a crisis, and we face a situation that has not been faced before by this generation. And as we look at the news and what's going on, we see that it is unclear when we will be out of this situation in which we are. And there's no clear unanimous steps or plan to address the current situation. And so far, it seems like there's no idea on how long this is going to take or what's going to be the outcome of this whole thing. So I was thinking about this, and look at this passage in light of these things that are happening right now in our world. It says in verse 29, "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with the fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he will not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." So last week we learned from this passage that there is a time for healing, there is a time for everything, a time to seek the Lord, a time to many things. But you know, this morning, as we are here still in the same passage, we look at Jesus, and in this passage, you know, he is the divine solution to the problems that this city and Peter's mother-in-law and everyone around him is facing. Jesus came in a time of crisis. Jesus came in a time when there was so many challenges around him. And I was thinking, what was Jesus' success in overcoming, as we saw in the previous passages, the ignorance of the people over there? And how did he overcome the diseases and evil spirits that were oppressing people at this time? And obviously the question that I ask has an answer. And the answer is Jesus was God, God incarnate walking over there. But as we look at the situation that Jesus was facing, in order for him to overcome the difficult challenges he faced, he first had to understand the spiritual origin of these challenges and address them accordingly. If we understand the Bible, and as Christians, we see that anything that takes place in the natural has an origin on the supernatural. Anything that is taking place in the visible is coming from the invisible. If we see challenges in the physical, we know that there's probably a reason for that, but very often the reason for the problems that we face and the challenges we have, they come from an unknown world, and that's the supernatural world or the invisible world. So Jesus comes and he overcomes all these situations and he fixes the problem. He is the divine solution to the needs of the people in Capernaum and the people that he was ministering to. But he did it in a powerful way because he was a divine solution. And obviously there's no doubt that we are living in very interesting times, to say the least. I mean, in many ways, we look at what's going on, the problems that we face, the virus, but it's not only the virus. We see the division, we see the war, the war of the media, we see the confusion, we see the fear, the everything that's taking place, and we wonder what's going on. And if we examine the world, we will find that there is in our society, in the world in which we live, no trust in God. People is not trusting the Lord in the midst of the crisis for the most part. There are few that are seeking. We are trusting in the Lord. But yet you see the whole world and there's no trust in God. There is a lot of fear, but it's not fear of God. There is a lot of confusion because there's no direction also. There is a lot of pride. People is still seeking the way out in their own strength. And you see no humility in society. You see no humility in the nations. You see a lot of people even questioning God. I mean, when you look at what's going on, this few days ago, in fact, last week, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was asked during a press briefing why the coronavirus infection rate was slowing in his state. And he answered, and I quote, "The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that." Unquote. To be clear, he wasn't asked about God's prayer. He just said it. God's power or God's intervention in this or the role of God in this. And you know, when this was going on, I was thinking, Lord, we live in the midst of a society that doesn't trust you, that doesn't believe in you. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of pride, and therefore there's no transformation in the midst of the culture and society in which we live. Now, when we look at the passage here in Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes and he brings the solution. He brings people to trust in him, to understand what's going on, to humble themselves and to ask him for miracles. And also we see his hand of power bringing transformation, because God is the only solution to our situation. Anything that we face is going to be faced as a challenge if God is not in us or with us. And in another place, you know, in the news, in Fox News, I saw this. Tucker Carlson says, "The only way to tame a virus like this is with science. A single effective treatment will make all the difference." He says, right away, if we have a way of overcoming this by science, he says, hope will return. Fear will reside in our nation and the world. But let me tell you, God is the only solution. As we look at the Word of God and as we trust in Him, He is our only solution. And I was thinking of what's going on and what we see in the Bible. And really, there is in our time a need to trust in God, to surrender everything to Him and to trust in Him. Could it be that God is testing the world? Could it be that God is testing the church in the midst of the world? Could that be what's going on in our time? Could it be that God is testing you right now where you are in your different situations, maybe still not working or thinking what's going to happen with the economy and finances and everything else and education with a lot of children in the houses? When are we going to go back to our worship times as we had them before and all that? Could it be that God is testing us to see if we really, truly trust in Him with all of our hearts? We must realize as Christians that right now, in this time in which we are in this crisis, there is a risk of not trusting God in the midst of the current situation. There is a risk of just saying, you know, everything's going to be fine. We rode other storms. We were fine in the end of them. You know, we'll find a solution. Could it be that we are trusting in our own strength? Maybe the government. Maybe, you know, grouping us as society and trying to overcome what's going on. And we say, well, this is a minor thing. This is nothing. There will be no effects of this. Well, maybe God is just saying, look up and slow down and trust in me with all your heart. Maybe there is a time when you are really fearing right now and questioning a lot of things because you're not trusting God. Maybe you're saying, how can God do this? How can God allow something like this to take place? Or maybe you're wondering, is this a real situation? Is this an exaggeration from the government or from people or from medicine? Could it be? How is this possible? How long is this going to extend? Lord, what do we need to do? How do we fight this thing? How do we overcome the problems that we have in front of us, in our society? Well, we need to see the Word of God. And I think this passage shows us that it's a time of trusting in the Lord for a divine solution. And I look at this passage, and as we trust in Jesus and seek Him in every situation, He will be the way out for us. Look in Mark 1, verse 30 again. Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now, when we look at this, they made a conscious choice to trust in Jesus for a solution in the midst of their situation. Think about this for a minute. Is there anything too difficult for God? I mean, could God be done with this situation today or tomorrow? Absolutely. But think about this also. Is there anything too simple for God to heal or to fix? I think at this, you know, and sometimes we see someone with a fever and we feel like, well, it's just a fever. They could have said, she'll be okay later. I mean, she'll wake up fine tomorrow. You know, she had a fever before and she was okay. But when they know that Jesus is present, when they have experienced the power of Jesus working miracles in the synagogue, they come to Jesus immediately because they know that Jesus is the solution for the problem. And see, what I see here is this is not a big thing, it's a fever, yet they come to Jesus and they ask, will you see to her? Will you heal her? Will you do something about this? Jesus, you know, as he's ministering people and he's ministering his disciples, and that's where we are here, and Simon, and obviously we read there that Andrew was present, James and John, and they were in the house of Simon. Jesus is teaching the disciples to trust in him. That's exactly what he's doing. He just called them a few days ago, maybe a few weeks ago, and as he is spending time with them and taking them with him everywhere he goes, to Capernaum, to the synagogues, to the different villages, he is obviously doing a lot of miracles, and he's preaching the gospel, and he's bringing the truth. But more than that, he has a very specific purpose with his disciples, and that purpose is to teach them to trust in him. So he is at every time reminding them, I am the way. He is reminding them that he's preparing them to trust in him in a deeper way. So look at this in John chapter 2 verse 11. I was thinking of what was Jesus doing when he was doing all these miracles. Obviously he was bringing healing, but how he was working in the mind and in the heart of the apostles, the disciples. It says in John 2:11 that and this is talking about the miracle of Jesus changing the water in wine. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. So they were with them and Jesus was already ministering to them. But yet, when they started seeing the miracles and the signs, they believed in him. And after this, they went to Capernaum. So Jesus was building trust in his disciples and showing them, you can trust in me. You are able to trust in me and I will be your solution. Now in John chapter 20, verse 30, we read, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. So when he was doing miracles, he was making sure they were present and seeing what was going on. In fact, in many places, he would kind of choose Peter and James and John, and he will bring them into special places and see the miracles. But then he says right there, which are not written in this book, but these, the ones that are written, they are so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. So everything we see in his word and everything we know of Jesus is there for us to believe in him and obviously to trust in him. So the Son of God is writing this for us, and it says in the end of the passage there, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It is very important to trust in Jesus in any situation. Now, why was that important? Because as Peter spent 3 years with Jesus, and Jesus was ministering Peter, and he was learning the ways of God and everything that Jesus was doing, there would come a time in the life of Peter when he would really have to exercise his trust, his faith in the Lord. And in fact, Jesus warned him of that when in the last moment, right after Jesus was resurrected and he's meeting with Peter, and you remember, Jesus comes to Peter and he says, Peter, you love me. And Peter says, Lord, I love you. And then he asks him again and he says, yes, I love you. And then the third time Jesus asked him, and Peter says, Lord, you know everything. And he was so ashamed because just a few weeks ago, he had denied the Master. The Lord. But you know, Jesus went on to tell him this in John 21:18. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. I mean, Jesus is talking to Peter and he's saying, Peter, you didn't pass the test. I forgive you. I love you. I understand where you are. But let me tell you, there are times ahead of you coming that are going to be very, very challenging. And you are a very impulsive man. You want to do things on your own. You want to fix everything. But let me tell you, there's a time when you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you. And he's saying this to him to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Simon, follow me, trust in me, surrender everything, even your own life. Surrender your circumstances. Try to fix it on your own strength. Try to quit trying to do your own thing. Rather, trust in me, because there are some things that are out of your control and you just have to trust in Jesus. And you know, as we are going through this crisis, we need to be reminded God wants us to trust in Him more. More than ever before. He wants us to surrender everything. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to trust Him more than anything else in any circumstance. Whether this is an exaggeration or this is a lie, we don't know. Whether this came from an animal or a human or a lab. Whether this economy is going to be restored in 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, we don't know. What we know is that God is asking us to trust Him, because God is in power, in control, and He allowed this for a reason. He allows this for a reason. I mean, whatever the governors are saying, whatever the politicians are saying, whatever the news are following, the leads on, and whatever direction they're going, we need to understand the heart of the king, the Bible says, is in the hands of the Lord. And He turns the stream of the heart of the king to whatever direction He wants. In fact, when we go to the Word of God in Proverbs, the Bible says that the Lord has made everything for His purpose. Well, this situation is actually for the purpose of the Lord too. Isn't it? Well, really. I think it's the media. I think it's politics. I think it's just nothing. Well, let me tell you something. We are in a situation that is out of our control. And what we need to understand is that God even does, He even made the wicked for the day of trouble. So we gotta surrender everything and we gotta say, Lord, here I am. I want to trust you. And maybe this is a time when God is correcting us. Maybe He's bringing us back to Him. Maybe He is disciplining us in some way. Maybe He's teaching us how to use our time, how to use our money, how to spend our time in family, how to have a different view of church and worship and the Word of God. And when we think of God, if God is using this in the world and He's disciplining the world, but also disciplining the church, let's be reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, where the Bible says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't push it off. It says, or be weary when reproved by Him, for the Lord disciplines the one who He loves. So God is leading us into a time of discipline, a time of readjusting, but more than anything, a time of trusting in God and saying, God, I know that you are in control and whatever's going on around me is taking place for a reason. I want to submit to you and surrender everything, and I want to trust you more. I want to know that you are over my life and that you have everything in your hands, every situation. Someone asked me, and that's the reason probably why I'm sharing this point here, because someone asked me a week and a half ago, a few days ago, they asked, what is the biggest thing you have learned through this time? And you know, it took me about 10, maybe 20 seconds to come up to the conclusion. I started kind of mumbling and saying a couple things and well, here and that. And then I said, you know what? Over everything, God has shown me through this time that I need to trust in Him. I need to trust in Him. I need to surrender everything to Him. I need to surrender what I do, what I think, what I hope, what I want, what I like. And I need to say, God, you are in control. This is your day, and I'm going to step forward and do what you're calling me to do. And then I started saying, Lord, what is your direction for my life? As I said in the beginning, we examine the world and the society and the news and the governments and everything that's going on, and we see that there's no faith, no trust in God. But another thing that we see is that there is a lot of confusion and a lot of anger and a lot of fear. And when we go back to the passage in Mark chapter 1, I mean, just for a minute, we see that, and there was a need for discernment in the time of Jesus when he came to these people. Jesus came to a place full of needs, full of different circumstances and challenges. There was sickness in people, and obviously sickness produces pain. And there was a spiritual oppression. You see people over there under the influence of demons and possessed by demons. And obviously this brings confusion and it brings calamity. And when you look at sickness and you look at demons working together and the oppression, what will you have? You have disasters. All kinds of disasters. And when there are disasters in a nation or in society, you will see a lot of confusion. Whether it's a tornado down in the south, or a storm in another part of the world, or an earthquake, or a political coup, whatever you see in the world, that's going to bring confusion. Disasters bring confusion. And that's the situation, the landscape of society when Jesus came to Capernaum over there, to Galilee. And in our situation, we face that confusion. And let me tell you, the devil loves to promote confusion. When confusion is going on, Satan puts more wood in the fire. He wants that to grow more. And then we looked at, in reality, the only solution for the confusion is God. It's God intervention. We see Jesus and he's healing people. He's bringing an understanding. He is casting the demons out, and all of a sudden people know what's going on. They know that this is a supernatural, a spiritual problem. They know that it's not just the visible, what they're fighting with, but they know that they are fighting with the invisible. And they know that there's a demon, and there's Satan, and there's evil, and there are things that they are not aware of that medicine or whatever they believe in cannot fix. So they have to rely upon God. So in our situation today, as we face confusion, and we see all these things, we got to remember that light is what brings the manifestation of the truth. In order for us to see what's going on, we need to go to God because He's the solution. And look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 through 17. We're going to read this passage and talking about light and how we find discernment, our need for discernment. It says, "But when anything is exposed by the light and becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." How many of you love light? How important is light, right? How many of you have woken up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or to do something and you forgot where you put things before you went to bed? You know, that happens to me very often with my kids. You know, sometimes it's late, they're all over the house playing and throwing things, and although I try to see, when I wake up and I try to walk in darkness, I pay the price. I really pay the price for walking in darkness. I need discernment. I need to know what's going on. I need to know what's taking place. And so we look at this and it says, when anything, it doesn't matter the situation, is exposed by the light, that will become visible. And when things get visible, we understand what's going on. Now, awake, O sleeper. And I like to think that that's us. That's the church. And arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In a time of confusion and darkness, and we don't really know what's going on, we gotta be awake, and we gotta say, "Lord, I want to shine with your light." And then he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." This is the days in which we see a lot of evil. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So any confusing situation we face needs to be exposed by the light of God, but the Word of God. And remember, Jesus came to this world. He was the light that was shining, and the light dwell among us. Yet they didn't recognize Him. They didn't acknowledge Him. Why? Because as the Bible says, they didn't acknowledge the light because their works were evil. They were living in darkness, so they refused the light. But for us Christians, we need to be exposed and expose every situation with the light of God. We live in evil days, and this requires discernment, it requires wisdom, and it requires the intervention of God. Right now, we need the hand of the Lord to bring an understanding of what we need to be doing, what we need to be saying, what we need to be proclaiming, and what are we to be standing up. I mean, we talk about the virus, and that's kind of a common word right now, coronavirus, but look at the many viruses that we are surrounded with in this world. We see the heart and the condition because when a society, because when a crisis takes place, it exposes what's going on in the midst of society. This crisis is exposing what's going on. The light is exposing what's in the floor, in the ground, and we see personal ambition, we see materialism, we see conformity to sin, we see rejection of God and His truth, we see immorality, we see individualism, everybody trying to do their own thing and come up with their own way out of this. We see political wars, you know, governments taking positions and taking terms and rules that maybe they shouldn't do. We see ignorance. People arguing without knowing much, misinformation and deception. There is a battle going on right now. And the battle is not the virus, really. The virus is probably going to be gone, but the war is still on. The war is still taking place in the midst of society. And we see the news and we see the confusion and we see the arguments and we see the fights and everybody believes in something and everybody believes they have the best idea or the best solution or they got more information than the other people. And so somebody stands on this extreme, somebody else stands on this other extreme, and somebody else is arguing without no reason. But we gotta understand, this is just what's going on. It's confusion. It's lack of discernment. And we gotta come and say, Lord, look at the virus in society. Look at the immorality. Look at the hate and the anger and the frustration. Look at it, Lord. We need your intervention. We need your hand of power to come and heal. Heal your land. Heal your people. Awaken your church. Giving us wisdom and boldness to proclaim the truth and to say what really the Bible speaks in regard to the end times, in regard to what's going on, in regard to what we're supposed to be doing. What is what God is leading us to do? The Word of God reveals why all of this confusion is overtaking the world. If you really want to know, let me invite you to the book of Romans. And you know this passage, but as I was thinking of this, you know, it's so relevant and up to date. It says in Romans 1:18 and down, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." So the wrath of God is being manifested, revealed, and God is really pouring His wrath down in many ways to the world because of the unrighteousness of men who are suppressing the truth. When we don't promote the truth, when we don't speak the truth, when we don't seek for the light of God, we are hiding the truth. Now look in verse 19. "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, His divine nature, they have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." People know of God. People know that there is a creator. They may deny it. They may say, "I don't believe in Him," but there's no excuse for people to deny the Lord. Now, as we see what's going on, you know, and we don't want to say this. We don't want to say, well, maybe God is disciplining us or correcting us, or maybe God is calling our attention in a drastic way. Maybe God is pouring down His wrath. This is language that we don't want to use, but when we look at the Word of God, this is very clear on what's going on. Look in verse 21 now. "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking." They deny God. They say God is not doing anything. This is not part of God, like Governor Cuomo said just a few days ago. You know, they try to fix things in their own. They push God aside. In fact, not only they push Him aside or ignore God, but actually they make a point to talk about God when they're not asking them about God. So we see what society is facing. Look what it says in here. It says, because they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, and they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Then we're going to keep reading here, all the way to verse 24. It says, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." God gave them up. He gave them up. Look in verse 26. "For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions." So He gave them up to lust in their hearts and then to dishonorable passions. For the woman exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless act with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. God gave them up to confusion, to frustration, to darkness, to deception, and to every kind of evil that we see in society. And you know, one thing that we ought to see when we look at what's going on in the world is that this is not taking place because God is going to give us up, because God is going to just pay us back to how we behave, but actually this is a result of how society lives in the world. This is the consequences of denying the Lord. And I know there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of rebellion, and Satan is using this. But we Christians, we have the light. And we need to trust in God, but also we need discernment in this time. And as we go to the Lord, we need to know what is the will of the Lord for us in the midst of this worldly deception that is taking place. And probably this is going to grow more and more and more. Evil people is going to be deceived, and they're going to be going from bad to worse. That's what the Bible says. And when we look at the gospel and you ask Jesus what is to come in the future, in the end times, he says, see to it that no one is deceived. The love of many will grow cold, and there will be hate. People will hate one another, and there will be confusion and deception. And many people will say, I am the way. I have the solution for the problem. But let me tell you, Jesus is the only solution. He is the only way out of any problem, whether it's a big situation or just a little fever in the life of Simon's mother-in-law right there. So, what are we to do? We got to make the best time, use of our time. As we read back in Ephesians, it says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as wise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. That's what we read. So we got to make the best use of the time. And you know one thing? We have time right now, right? By the grace of God. Many of us have the time that we didn't have to do some things. But let me tell you, how about time to seek the Lord? How about time to really pray and to really do something in regard to His truth and to memorize the truth, or to, you know, how about reading the book of Revelation? How to try to understand what's coming? What's the Bible saying in regard to the end time? You know, there are so many people that is confused, and people rather believe in conspiracies than in the truth of God. We have the Word of God, and people will rather go to channels and discover in all kinds of places, you know, History Channel, and try to find some answers to their questions when we have the truth of God here. Let's just say, Lord, I want to know what's going on. Another thing that we need to be doing is praying for the Lord's direction right now. How are we to minister other people around us? Think about this. The people in Capernaum came to Jesus at night. If we go back to Mark, it says, when the evening came and it was dark already, everyone from town came to the door in the place in which Jesus was. Because somebody must have told them what was going on. Somebody must have heard Jesus was doing miracles this morning in the synagogue, and now he's in the house of Peter also healing. So everybody went over there. They needed direction, and Jesus was the direction. It is a time to know the truth. Jesus exposed the problem and he gave the solution. It is a time to proclaim that truth and make it known to people. Let me read you this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as I'm thinking of this, you know, and what's going on, look the solution that God has given us when he wants to bring us out of confusion and lack of discernment. It says in verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. And Paul is talking to Timothy, and Timothy is probably facing many challenges, but Paul reminds them, there is a day when judgment is coming to the living and the dead. So, in regard to that, I charge you to start acting, to do something. And what is that? In verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Are you ministering somebody right now? Are you preaching the Word of God? Are you spending time to do these things that are here? You know, this is not meant to be given to pastors or leaders only. Actually, every Christian is commanded to share the gospel with someone else. And it says here, preach in season and out of season. This is a good season, by the way, to preach the gospel of God. Okay? This is a good season to say, you know what's going on? You really want to know what the Bible says about these things? There are some things that we don't have a solution for, but let me tell you in what areas we do have a solution. It's a good time, you know, it's a good time for me to sit down with my kids because they have so many questions on what's going on. Even little Jimena, she is 6 years old and she says, Dad, what is going on with this corona something, coronavirus, virus, she doesn't even know how to say it, you know. And she's just wondering what's going on with all this and there's no school. And it's a good time to sit them down and say, you know what? Let me tell you what's going on. And let me tell you what Jesus is telling us to do. And let me tell you what we believe. And let me tell you how we trust in God in the midst of this. And we pray for people. And it's a great opportunity to minister others. We're preaching the truth. We have the truth. Look in verse 3. It says, for the time is coming, and I think we're here, when people will not endure sound teaching. Sound teaching requires endurance. Requires suffering. It says, people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And right now, you have access to whoever you want to listen. You can listen to good teaching, to bad teaching, to prosperity teaching, to lies, to whatever you want to hear. But let me tell you, we are commanded to go to the truth of God. And in verse 4, it says, and they will turn away from their listening. Actually, we didn't even finish verse 3, but it says, they will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. To be sober-minded in situations like this, you really need to spend more time in the Word. And you need to spend more time in prayer and just being directed by God. Because as you go on right now, there are so many challenges and ideas and everybody has a different opinion of everything. If you're not grounded on the truth, it's going to be really hard to be sober-minded. Very, very hard to be sober-minded. So let's go to the Word of God and let's see what He's calling us to do. He's calling us to stand up in truth, in the truth. We have a call. The call of proclaiming the Word of God, enduring the good teaching and suffering, doing the work of an evangelist, and fulfill the ministry of God for our lives. So we look at this and that's the situation in which we are. There's no trust in God. There is confusion. But also, as I said in the beginning, there is a lot of pride. A lot of pride still. And you look at people and there is a prevalence of pride in society. And when we think of pride, you know, everybody thinking they know more, they know better, you know, they have an answer for everything. They don't need God. They don't need to humble themselves. They don't need to read the Word of God. They don't need to pray more. Pride makes it impossible to come to God. To pray. Pride is an impossibility for people full of pride to come and humble themselves before the Lord and to have a repentant heart. We need to be humble. Humility is our path back to the grace of God. As I look back in Mark chapter 1, these people were desperately seeking for the solution. When they went to Jesus at night, it says, all who were sick or oppressed by demons, it says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. I mean, can you picture this? And I have, you know, I have pictured things like this when people is very humble. I remember when I was very little, and there were these groups of doctors and nurses that will make trips from the United States to Mexico, and they will open these camps, these booths in the middle of the field, sometimes in baseball stadiums and sometimes in the square plaza of the town. And they will invite people with different problems to come, and they sometimes will work on teeth, sometimes they will work on surgeries of the face for kids that have problems in their mouths and stuff like that. And you know, when you go to communities where there's no medicine, when you go to communities when the hospitals or the clinics are very small, and you go and these doctors will promote themselves just by speaking on a car and announcing that they were going to be there for the weekend or for a week or for 6 days. Let me tell you, the next morning, everybody who had a problem showed up to that place because there was a need. And that was humility. There was no other place to find the solution. There was no other place to find a response. So they will throw everything aside, their works, their jobs, whatever they were doing, their farming, and they will say, I'm going to take my child, I'm going to take my wife, I'm going to take my mother to, so that they work in their teeth. And, you know, these camps will only last so long. Only one day, only 2 days, only a week, and only a week. So people will leave everything aside and humble themselves and go seek for help. We are in a time when we need to seek for help, the help of the Lord. Simon's mother was in bed with the fever. They immediately told Jesus about her. They didn't wait for the next day. And what a blessing, because that, for that night, there was the opportunity, the time of opportunity for them. Because the next morning, Jesus will not be there anymore. In fact, when they went looking for him, later, we see in verse 20, actually, verse 35 in chapter 1 of Mark, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with them searched for him. That's the next morning. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. This is the next day. There were still needs in the towns over there. But he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. There was a time, a window of opportunity. And as I was thinking of this, I was thinking, could this be the window of opportunity for Christians to rise up or to humble ourselves down and to ask for direction? We often quote this verse in 2 Chronicles 7. Look what it says in regard to humility and pride. Look what it says. It says, When Solomon finished the house of the Lord in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 7:12, it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When, not if, but actually when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence. By the way, that's a virus that is infecting people and killing them among my people. If my people, not everyone, but my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. If my people humble themselves, if my people pray and seek my face, if my people turn from their wicked ways, if we as Christians, you know, come to the Lord and correct our ways and say, Lord, we want to know you more. We want to seek you more. We want to go after you and ask you for deliverance, for wisdom, for guidance, for a revival. It's a time of opportunity for us not only to pray for healing or for discernment or the people trusting God, but it's actually a time to pray for revival and to pray that God will give us anointing and boldness to proclaim to the world what they need to hear in regard to the Word of God. As we look at this situation, we got to remember God will humble the prideful if they don't humble themselves. God will do that. But are we part of that group of prideful people? Or are we humbling ourselves before the presence of the Lord? This is a time to do that. Now, the last thing I want to mention here is that we see no change. We see no transformation in what's going on. But actually, we have a very need for transformation, a very important need. And as we look at this, the Lord is giving us that window of opportunity to seek that transformation. And God is the solution. He is the divine solution to what's going on. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, we read of the solution. Look at the solution when Jesus was healing. It says, on one of those days, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with them to heal. as Jesus was doing miracles and changing the oppressed and bringing understanding of what was going on, we see that there was something in him. It was the power of the Lord to heal. We need power. We need the Lord being manifested in our midst. And we need to say, Lord, we need the manifestation of your power in the midst of this nation, in the midst of this society, in the midst of your church. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Not only Jesus had the power, but he gave the power to his disciples to have authority over all demons and to cure diseases and to proclaim the kingdom of God and to do healings. And as we look at this, you know, what if God will just grant us the privilege to have the power right now as Christians and to proclaim the truth with boldness and also to proclaim there is healing in Jesus. You can come and find healing in Jesus. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for the supernatural hand of God moving among his people. We need to say, Lord, this is a window of opportunity. We want to stand up and trust that you are the divine solution to what's going on in the world. So as we look at the situation, keep praying and be challenged about this and say, Lord, you are the only way out of any situation in which we are. And whatever you're facing today, right now, why don't you make Jesus part of your situation? Why don't you ask him to come? Why don't you trust in him? Why don't you say, Lord, show me how to trust in you in a deeper way and allow me to understand what's going on. Humble yourself and you will see the power of God moving in your life. So let's pray this morning as we finish here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. We acknowledge your grace, your power, your favor on us, Lord. And Lord, as we look at this situation, Lord, we know that without your favor, it is impossible. It is impossible to find a solution to nothing, to anything, Lord. So right now, Lord, as we look at what's going on, in a very humble way, Lord, we ask that you will open up doors for us to seek you, Lord. That you will give us a heart to listen, to be sensitive to you. That we will have the fullness of the power of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord. When we look at your word, it says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Lord, we need your power. We need the fullness of your Spirit. We need, Lord, to be moving under your guidance, Lord, and to know that you are with us, Lord. So as we continue to trust in you and to pray to you, Lord, will you give us, will you grant us the fullness of your Spirit, Lord, so that we are standing up strong and doing what you are calling us to do, Lord. There is so much need in the fields around us, Lord. There is so much confusion around us, Lord, but we want to do what's right. We want to bring healing. We want to proclaim healing and restoration and transformation to the nations around us, Lord. We trust in you. We humble ourselves to you, Lord, and we recognize you. You are powerful and mighty, Lord, and you will do your will, Lord. Now we pray, Lord, that as we continue, we worship you in whatever circumstances we are, Lord, with all of our hearts, Lord, and that we will give you the glory, Lord, and seek your face at all times. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's finish with this song.